check Gowdy, ABC7. Speaking of Hawks games, I ran into Mr. Gowdy last night at the United Center for the Blackhawks.
What a game you guys got to see, too.
It was quite a moment. I was going to take Chuck's hat off and throw it on the ice.
He might not have liked
if
that.
If, in fact, they did that. If either Marian Hossa or Patrick Kane got a hat trick. But it worked out okay for you, Chuck, and your hat.
Well, except that I didn't have a hat. You may have noticed.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to throw your hair onto the
there you go.
Onto the ice then. Well,
good luck with that.
Yeah, that's good because it's really his hair. So
it is
that's,
really. So
it's really
going
to be a problem. So then I wanted to reach in front of us to some other guy and grab his hat and throw it on the ice. That's the people love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about El Chapo here. I think the real question, the Mexican government is now saying that they are considering extradition, and some of the government are like, hey, we're happy to extradite. Do you think that's because they just don't know how to hold on to him?
Well, they certainly don't have a very good track record with him, that's for sure. And they can only look bad again, I think, in this whole deal. He's not going to stay put. He still has tremendous resources on the inside and the outside. And so I believe that the Mexican judicial officials have decided he's going to end up coming to the United States at some point. Let's just do that, unload him, and move on.
So why would he, if he were convicted in Mexico and given a life sentence there, they would still want him here, do you think?
Well, I think they would because there is no level of confidence that he will actually be held for life in Mexico because of the resources that he has and because of the fact that he's managed to escape twice before. The U.S. DEA wants him here. They have far better security here in the Bureau of Prisons. But beyond that, the cases that they've built in the United States are really superior to what they have in Mexico right now.
And
the evidence against him, the ability to prosecute him, and then the other thing is that they also at the same time want to ensure that he receives a fair trial, and the judicial system in Mexico is completely different than it is here.
Sir, he's wanted in several states here, right, Chuck? Including right here in Chicago, Illinois, which some are saying may be a likely place that he would be extradited should that be determined by the judge.
Well, largely because he is the best cases against him are here in Chicago. The only place that has any surveillance video surveillance recordings of him are here in Chicago. They actually have him, on undercover audio talking about the operation, talking about moving drugs, talking about the sale of, large kilo amounts of cocaine and heroin.
And there are a number of people who used to work for him who ended up dead in this town, too, right?
Well, there are dozens of people who are connected to cartel operations who have been killed over the years. I mean, whether they're directly connected to him or not, they certainly are connected to his operation.
And let's talk a little bit about that, because the Sinaloa cartel, which is the largest distributor, and I think he actually bragged about this in the Rolling Stone interview to Spicoli. that he's number one in North American distribution for heroin, marijuana, and cocaine, the big three, mm-hmm. right there. And it's a surprising thing because generally you have cartels that are good at one or the other, not all three. And that's and because Chicago is the hub and spoke capital of America, right? All the railroads ran through here. The airports run through. Air traffic runs through here. Trucking traffic runs through Chicago. Internet. People don't even realize this. Internet, the biggest internet hub in North America is right here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. The reality is that's why the Sinaloa cartel came up here too, right?
Well, it for the same reason that so many other things are shipped through here as well, and consider this to be the main hub of the wheel. It's no different. It's just a different product.
Yeah.
And the Flores brothers, talk about their connectivity, because they were two street gang members, twin brothers, I believe, from the Chicago
right.
area, who ultimately brought him down here in Chicago through those undercover recordings. And I know you were all over that case.
Right, they're the ones who managed to pull off these remarkable recordings, most of which only law enforcement have heard. And on these recordings, they engage El Chapo and a number of other members of his cartel high-ranking officials who are responsible for moving kilo amounts of drugs talking about the way that the network works, talking about how they get things into the U.S., to Chicago, and then distributed from here. And the Flores brothers managed to make these recordings in, you know, great danger to themselves before they were actually put into witness protection. And those will basically be the underpinnings of whatever prosecution he faces in the United States, whether it's here or whether they combine these cases potentially somewhere else, New York, for instance. Those recordings will still be, those will be key evidence in the case.
And so the second time he was captured, what, about nine months ago, whenever it was, that was because of intelligence gathered during those conversations, signals intelligence gathered during those conversations with the Flores brothers, right? Wasn't that a key piece of not only what he said in those recordings, but the fact that they were able to start to trace an electronic fingerprint to him?
Right. And, you know, the other part of it is that he, even though he had all these resources at his disposal and had, you know, he had planes, boats, submarines that he could have used for himself to escape, he didn't. He still stayed in a fairly small area then and again this time.
Yeah.
He could have gone just about anywhere on Earth and vanished, and he didn't do that.
Well, I'm interested in what your thoughts are on how this whole thing came about, too, because It is interesting, the Sean Penn piece here. They say that he was captured as a result of the interview in some respect, that the Mexican authorities were able to track where he may have been as a result of this communication that he had with Sean Penn and this Mexican actress who was a go-between the two of them. And they did. They tracked him down at one point. There was a gun battle. He was able to get away from that. And then a couple, whatever period of time later, they actually did finally get him. So what do you make of the whole Sean Penn piece here?
Well, I'm not real clear yet, based on everything that's out there, what that component really means. And, you know, initially we were told that there was a tip that El Chapo was at that location. Today, that the authorities of Mexico are saying that they got a tip from a citizen that he was actually asleep at that location, and that's why they ended up raiding that specific spot. No mention at this point of the tip coming from either, you know, a cell phone surveillance from Sean Penn or information from him or somebody near him or anything else. So I really don't know at what level the Sean Penn information kind of dovetails into this bigger raid that we saw come down on Friday.
Is there any consideration, do you think, Chuck, to the power that this man still wields in Mexico and elsewhere, with the amount of money to pay people to do things like build tunnels for him out of prison, that any trial would just be, it would be so difficult because you would imagine that not many witnesses would certainly feel the pressure to not present themselves, maybe especially in Mexico.
Well, I think it would be more difficult in Mexico than it would be here, because the Flores brothers and people who are involved in his organization who have already offered to cooperate they would be the main witnesses against him here. Mm-hmm. In Mexico, it would be much more difficult to convince family members and people who are in his organization to take the witness stand. But again, don't forget, the system of justice and the way that evidence is processed through criminal prosecutions in Mexico is a little bit different than what we're used to here. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm told from people who are involved in that system, it's not necessarily the same threshold that you have here to convict somebody.
Yeah,
I see.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do and if they get him back here and where he comes, right? I mean, if they hold him here at the MCC, that's going to be quite a moment
there,
right there.
I think it'll be either Chicago or New York. And wherever it is, it's likely that they will combine these cases. You're not going to see him prosecuted in six different places in the United States.
In
they'll all be consolidated into one. We're working on that story actually for today at 6 o'clock to talk about what the prosecution would look like of him and how it would kind of fold together.
All right. And I believe also, is it tonight at 10 you've got the service dog story?
It is 10 o'clock tonight.
And what happens with that? The people, is it? I'm just gonna. I was just told that you've got a service dog story, and I figured, knowing Chuck, that the story has to be people faking their dogs as service dogs.
That's where your mind went.
That's where my mind went immediately. Am I right about that?
Well, there is a little bit of that in there, but this is more of a public service, Ro. You know, we do serve the public.
We do. All right, okay.
That was a collective we.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chuck.
We do?
Thanks for including us.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look that up right now. I'm going to look right where. I'm going to look for evidence of that. All right. Thank you very much, Chuck. Appreciate
thank you, Chuck.
It.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Check out ABC7. See you tonight at 6 and 10 on the ABC7.